This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hey, welcome back into the Sports Bar. Danger and Battaglia on the Fan Rochester. It's Bills Camp Live from St. John Fisher University. Mike Danger, Gene Battaglia, and News 8's Thad Brown joining us in the Sports Bar. How are you, Thad?
Good, guys. How you guys doing?
Thad, you just got to hear Case Keenum speak to the media. I mean, I don't like talking about worst-case scenarios, but if the Bills had to rely on Keenum, I mean, how far could they get, would you think? What's your impression, sir?
I think this is a playoff team with Keenum, assuming everything else is pretty normal. You know, I think this is a guy that definitely can take them a ways. Like, they're not going to go as far as they would with Josh Allen. They're probably not a championship team with Keenum. I'll tell you what, I've been relatively disappointed with his camp so far. Now, the way the offensive line has been a mess with injuries, I'm sure that's playing a factor. But, you know, after Josh Allen, I don't think either of the backup quarterbacks have looked particularly good. But it's 2 weeks of camp in Fisher. You know, it's not, you're not going to take 10 years of the guy's career and throw it away from what you've seen, you know, with shoulder pads and shorts every once in a while. Keenum can play in this league. He's won playoff games. He knows what he's doing. And, you know, the thing that I've liked the best about him is that, you know, we were just talking to him. He's clearly a practical joker. The team got him to dress up and try and get autographs from other players. He fooled most of the players. Josh kind of snuffed it out. But, you know, for a quarterback room where the starter already is a guy that likes to joke around, is constantly practical joking, guys, you know, it feels like Keenum is meshed right in. And it's not an easy thing to do because you got Allen and you got Barkley and you got Dorsey, guys who've been together for a while, know each other pretty well. And Keenum is just slotted right into that room. And, you know, it seems like he fits like a glove right now.
Thad, let's go back and talk about the offensive line a little bit, because we've had people say that if this is the way the offensive line plays in the regular season, that they're not a playoff team, that the offensive line is not being good throughout camp. And a lot of that is those injuries, that lack of continuity. What's your takeaway on the offensive line that you've witnessed so far through camp?
Yeah, I'm one of those guys. You know, if the offensive line this year is Morse, Dawkins, Questenberry, Ford, Hart, I don't know if this is a playoff team.
Right.
I don't care who the quarterback is. You know, it's a rough way to go. But, you know, if those are the two guards, then we're talking about Mann, Saffold, and Bates all being hurt, which is what the situation was last week. There's not many teams in the league that are surviving. You take the top three off a depth chart at any position. You know, so this is not how it's hopefully going to be in the regular season. So I think when the regular line comes back, you know, obviously it'll be better. You know, I have questions about Saffold as a pass blocker. I have questions about Bates. You know, I like him a lot, but he's got a 4 or 5 game sample size as a starter. So there's things to look at and wonder. But, you know, I think with Morris and Dawkins, the good thing this offensive line has is that if you want to pick 2 spots in line to be good and set, it's center and left tackle. And they are absolutely fine at those 2 spots. I think the rest of it you build from there. You hope Spencer Brown takes the next step. So there's optimism this line can be, you know, reasonably good to a, you know, maybe close to a top 10 line. I don't think they're going to be the detriment of this team, assuming that they're healthy.
Yeah, if Brandon Bean were to make a trade, Thad, would that be the position he'd look to go fortify, or would be something else?
To add
to the offensive line.
I'd say right now, yeah, that would be among the top ones. And, you know, I think we went into this camp, you know, one of the spots I thought he might add would be corner, you know, because let's say Trey White isn't ready to go and Kyer Elam doesn't look like he's ready to play early. Well, I don't know where Trey White's at, but Elam's look fine. And then on top of that, Christian Benford continues to make plays day after day after day, to the point now where, you know, I was wondering if they'd have a quality guy to start a corner. They might have 3, you know, if you include Dae Jackson, separate of Trey White. So I don't think corner is a problem right now. So if you're going to add somewhere, I think line is one spot. The other spot, I don't know if you're going to be able to find anybody at this point, but tight end is a big question mark for me. O.J. Howard has not looked very good in this camp. Not really at any part at all. Dawson Knox is fine. You know, he's had a little more of the dropsies than you like, but he's still going to be the solid number one. I haven't seen anything from Howard that makes me think this is a guy that, you know, he comes into this camp, comes to this team with a reputation of having tons of athleticism. And you just haven't seen it. You know, he's not getting open. He's not on the same page. There's no plays where I'm like, wow, look at the body control there. So if I was going to – if you said you can go add one guy at one spot, tight end would probably be my spot right now.
Thad, let's talk a little bit about Dane Jackson. He's almost been like the forgotten guy. We forgot the job that he did at the end of last season. And throughout most of this camp, we haven't really heard his name, which is probably a good thing, right?
I think for a lot of them, for a lot of the assessment of corners, yeah. If you're not hearing him, if you're not noticing him, he's doing good. Like today, I walked away from camp and said, wow, I didn't see Dane Jackson at all because no one's throwing the ball his way. Yeah. He's probably doing what he's supposed to do. I sat down with him right at the start of camp, and it was fascinating because I talked to him about this very thing about, you know, you're the guy that was here, you know, and you know, how do you take the fact that you played well last year and they still spent a first-round pick to, you know, more or less replace you? And he said, look, you know, I'm a seventh rounder. This is who I'm going to be. I don't care what happens, where I'm at. There's always going to be a guy that comes in or a move that's made to try and challenge me. And you can tell it's, you know, similar to what an undrafted free agent would feel like. But there's that chip on his shoulder constantly, and it definitely drives him, definitely motivates him. I think he's had a solid camp. I'm a huge Dane Jackson fan. Have been since the moment he started playing a couple years ago. I don't know if he's done enough in this camp to make me say he's the guy I want over Kaiir Elam, you know, if and when or whenever Trey White is healthy. But he's not killing himself either, and this is a guy that I'm pretty confident is going to have a long NFL career. Maybe it won't be as you're one of your top pair corners, but he can play in this league, and he will be a factor when it comes to how the Bills use their corners this year.
Thad Brown, News 8, is our guest here in the sports bar. So one of the storylines from camp, the injuries to Poyer and Hyde, and thankfully they don't seem to be anything too serious. You figure they'll be back week one. So here's my question. The guys behind them, and is there an opportunity perhaps for like somebody like a Jaquan Johnson, like, you know, he's better than we thought? Like could this actually impact Jordan Poyer and his quest for a new contract?
It's possible, you know, but it doesn't look like Poyer's going to miss any game time. So I don't think the Bills are going to, you know, reassess whatever their contract plan is for Jordan Poyer based on preseason games. They've seen, you know, Hamlin and Johnson play a ton of preseason games already. They know what these guys look like in practice. It's a weird deal because, you know, you talk about an opportunity. I don't know if there really is one. You know, Johnson and Hamlin are going to make the team, you know, so it's not like they're battling for a roster spot. But they're not going to start. There's just no way. So, you know, maybe I think it's a reasonable thought that maybe you talk about long term, you know, the Bills might feel a little more reticent to hand out big money to Poyer if you see a lot from Johnson and Hamlin these next few weeks when Poyer's out. But again, it's going to be all practice time, practice games. I just don't think that's going to move the needle enough, you know, when it comes to a guy like Jordan Poyer, who's a reigning All-Pro at this point.
That, let's talk a little bit about that Poyer deal, because we were kind of speculating at the start of camp when we saw his agent here on day one that he was going to be next in line. No, Reggie Gilliam gets a well-deserved extension. Yes. I think we would all agree. But what do you think happens here with the Jordan Poyer extension or lack of extension?
My lean with Poyer has been, you know, for months now that this is going to be his last year in Buffalo. He's going to go get paid somewhere else next year. It's just they're already over the cap next year. You've got Poyer and Knox and Singletary and Edmonds and probably Gabriel Davis, even though he's got one more year in his contract next year. If he does what we think he's going to do this year, that's another guy you want to pay next year. So there's just so many mouths to feed. You know, the idea of a 32-year-old safety being high up on that priority list, especially for the money he will probably command, I just don't think it's going to work out. Now, I'm not saying it's impossible he comes back. I'd say it's like a 60-40 lean at this point. But, if you know, the question is, what do I think is going to happen with Jordan Poyer? I just don't think the Bills want to, you know, spend all that money there when they're already spending big on the other safety, when they're already spending big. I mean, Matt Milano is $13 million on the cap next year. Edmonds, is, if they keep him, will probably be an eight-figure cap hit. So you're going to take linebacker and safety, not huge priority positions, and you're committing $40 million to your cap to those spots. It just doesn't make sense roster building, especially when your quarterback is making gazillions of dollars or whatever it is. So that's the way I'm leaning. Again, if they Brandon Bean announced tomorrow, we got Jordan Poyer on a three-year extension, would not stun me, but I think this is his last year in Buffalo.
Thad Brown from News 8. The one thing I kind of learned about this camp that looks like the Bills have a star on defense. We all knew Von Miller was good. We know his accolades and everything. But the cachet that he kind of brings to this team, is that what has been missing on this defense so far?
We'll see. I think it's a part of it. You know, I think it helps, especially with all the other young guys at that spot. You know, when you talk about the cachet, I mean, Greg Rousseau every day at practice, you know, talking to Von, learning from Von, picking his brain. You know, I'm assuming Epinesa and Boogie Basham doing the same thing. When you got a guy like Miller who comes in, there really isn't a pass rushing peer. You know, Ed Oliver can do the job similarly, but he's done it well for maybe 1 year. Miller's been doing it for a decade. I mean, all these kids were in middle school and Miller was a great pass rusher. You know, so for a guy like that to come in who's been around for so long, who knows so much, you know, he certainly has the air of the expert that everybody else is trying to just learn from and you know, improve by using his intellect. And it definitely helps. I mean, to me, the one thing Von Miller has to do, give me your 10 sacks, be a threat in the playoffs. That's, if he can do that, whatever happens with Basham and Rousseau and all the rest of the guys is almost gravy to me.
Thad Brown, News 8 Sports Director, our guest in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia, too, for you. Your camp MVP and your surprise bubble player that might be on the bubble here towards the end of the preseason.
Camp MVP is going to be between Benford and Isaiah Hodgins. And I'm stunned I'm saying this about Isaiah Hodgins because he's been fantastic the last week or so. Made a one-handed catch in the end zone. A little bit of a question with a hand still. You see some juggles and some balls you like him to catch. But he has been really, really good. And you look at that receiver room. You got Davis and Diggs, kind of your primary outside guys, and then a bunch of slots. You know, not that, you know, McKenzie and Tavon Austin and Crowder can all play on the outside if they have to. But in terms of who that next guy is for an outside receiver, you know, it might come down to Hodgins or Jay Kumerow. You know, and Hodgins, when he was drafted, everybody was excited. Sixth-round pick excited, but still excited, you know, about what he could be. You know, so I think there's an opportunity there for him to win that third job. And you know, I don't know how open the path is, but whatever openness there is, he is prying that door open and fighting through with what he's done at camp. He might also, you know, fall in the category where you said the bubble guy.
Yeah.
You know, Nick McLeod early was a guy for me on the bubble that I think was really making some noise. Assuming Trey White starts the season on some sort of list so he doesn't count against the roster, you know, the Bills are probably going to need another corner beyond Taron and Neal and all the normal guys that you would expect out there. McLeod was making plays very early in camp. They were also using him at safety. You know how the Bills always value the versatility of guys. So I think McLeod is a name that at least the first week of camp was really pushing himself into the discussion to make the team. I think he's still there. I think he's been quiet the last week or so. Cam Lewis is another guy who I thought would have a chance, but Lewis has had a very up-and-down camp. I mean, today had two really great run stops and then gets whooped on a pass play on the next, you know, next snap. So, you know, his camp's been up and down. I think McLeod's got a real chance to be on this roster, assuming, you know, Trey's not a factor, and he's, you know, doing a good job of making it hard for the Bills to keep him off the roster so far.
That last week here for the Bills for the 2022 camp at St. John Fisher University, and we talked to you before, you've been saying, hey, listen, the Bills do like this. Mm-hmm. I think there is a future. Anything more you can kind of add? Because this, to me, has been pretty successful camp. If every practice has been sold out here so far.
If there's any question about whether the Bills have to want to come back, every practice that's been here is a resounding answer of yes, this is a good idea because it's gone well. Everybody's had a good time. I haven't talked to anyone who's been unhappy. People are seeing the guys, they're getting autographs. And, you know, I know people were unhappy at the beginning when tickets were capped, and obviously the Ticketmaster snafu played into it. But the idea that not everybody got a ticket to come here was a problem when camp began. And, you know, one of the things the Bills said was, you know, we wanted to have it so that we wouldn't have so many people here that, yeah, you might be here, but your seven-year-old is six deep in the line and can't see anything.
Right.
And I think the result is, you know, that plan has worked out well because everybody's had a great time. I've seen smiles. I've seen yelling. You know, it just seems like it's been a lot of fun. It helps when the fans are here to see a team that's probably going to the Super Bowl. You know, that always makes everybody feel a little better about everything. But I think so far it's been a rousing success, and I can't imagine any reason why the Bills would not want to be back here again next year.
Fat, what are you guys working on this week here leading up to Saturday, leading up to the first preseason game of the season?
Yeah, today we're talking with Ryan Bates, who you know, a fascinating story in that this is a guy who's been in the NFL for a few years, dependable backup, always had a job. But then the light goes on last year, gets an opportunity, becomes a starter, coveted in the offseason, two teams want him. Now he's coming back in with expectations, you know, so how do you deal with that? How do you handle that? You know, when you're not a rookie or a really young guy that's brand new, you've been in the league. You know what's going on, but all of a sudden your role is different. So we're going to have that on News 8 today, and I think later on we're going to try and talk with Christian Benford this week. Like I said, he's had a spectacular camp, like kind of out of nowhere to be a part of this first-team corner discussion. So that's two big stories we're looking forward to this week.
Thad, real quick, 17 losses in a row. Can we dump the Washington Nationals?
I don't know what to say about that with the Red Wings. I mean, you have to have some special amount of bad luck to lose that many games in a row. And look, obviously the parent club is not helping right now. When they're taking their A1 superstar in Juan Soto and flipping him for picks, it's not a team that's destined to be successful. But, again, kind of like, you know, judging Case Keenum on his 2 weeks of camp, judging the Nationals' relationship with the Wings based on the last half a month, probably not fair. But, wow. I mean, you know, at this point, I'm wondering if they get swept another series. They gotten swept three series in a row. If they make it four, they will have gone an entire month without a win.
Has that ever happened in baseball? Because he had an all-star break in the middle of this, you know. So a whole month without a win. I mean, if you're the Wings, just lose the last 60 games. Let's make this historic. You know, if this is what we're going to do. Let's just go all the way with it.
All that being said, though, Thad, I mean, Red Wings aside, right now, as a Rochester sports fan, is this the best the best time to be a Rochester sports fan that you can remember in maybe like the last 15 years with the Bills being here at camp, the Amerks doing what they did coming out of the pandemic, and even the Wings earlier this season, at least you could say, hey, they were in first place for part of the season.
Well, I mean, you throw those two things in with the fact that the next 10 months, including like the last couple weeks, we're going to do Bills camp here, you know, maybe the beginning of a Super Bowl season, and then the PGA Championship at Oak Hill in May. I mean, this is going to be one heck of a year to be a Rochester sports fan. We had a good Amherst playoff run. We might have another one. I think that team's encouraging. So I don't know. It's probably not the best ever because we used to win championships in this town.
Yeah.
But it certainly is a heck of a lot better than it's been for a long time.
Thad, appreciate it. We'll check it out tonight. Thanks for your time today.
Thanks for having me on, guys. Appreciate it. Good to see you guys in person.
Absolutely.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.